Hey, everybody. Welcome to tonight.
Live with us.
Live with us. It's Thursday. It's Thursday. And I'm Jake.
It's October.
It's still October.
No, I know, but it's... I'm saying... I was being... giving more information about the date, because you said it was Thursday.
Oh, right, yeah. Apparently, Scully started the last podcast with the date, so we need to start doing that.
The day and date.
Yeah. You know, I could say, for Thursday, October 21st, it's the Overthinking It podcast. I'd be like Matt Rather. I'd like to be like Matt Rather.
Huh. Is he related to Dan Rather?
I don't think so, because I think he spells his name differently than Dan Rather does.
How do you spell
I did once
Rather?
Beat him up and demand to know what the frequency was.
Oh. Cool.
I didn't really.
Okay.
He would have gotten
it. That's also cool.
He would have gotten it. If anybody would have gotten it, he would have gotten it.
His name wasn't even Kenneth.
I know. That's what's so fucked up about it.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, Riff?
We didn't actually introduce ourselves.
Yeah, I did.
I'm Riff.
You didn't. You said it's Thursday.
I introduced
it's
myself.
It's Thursday. Thursday, and I'm Riff.
Yeah. I told people
these two
I was
facts Jim. Are not necessarily related.
These two fags are not necessarily related. You are, don't call us fags.
Neither.
And
also,
we're not related even a little bit.
Also, you might also only be Riff on Thursdays.
It's I'm usually Riff.
You sure?
I don't know if it's based on the day of the week.
Unless you ask your dad, in which case you're the kid from Mars.
Every Thursday I've checked, you've been Riff.
Yeah, it's same here.
Every coat I've checked has been a fur.
Huh.
You've never checked anything but a fur coat?
Yeah, I worked at a really exclusive coat room.
The fur coat room?
Yes, the fur coat room. That was the name of my strip club. It was not very popular. Oh, man, if you had a strip club where your theme was, like, especially your suit strippers...
No, and the poles were made out of that Lexan, so that as the fur coats rubbed up and down on the poles, it created... Static charge.
Oh, wow. So it was like the, yeah, like you'd have like porcupine strippers.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be great.
Mm.
Yeah,
like
cool.
That James Bond movie, Porcupussy. That was about the cat with spikes.
Right.
And stainless steel teeth.
Is it glass? Is it glass and fur? Or is it like plastic? I forget.
I don't know. I think glass and fur will do it. Right? You take a glass rod, because, you know,
who doesn't have
glass
a glass
rods
rod?
Laying around. Yeah. And a swatch of fur. You know, so basically,
yeah.
If you're going in for a pubic hair transplant, they will give you a bunch of swatches of fur so that you can take them home and rub them on your husband's face to tell what kind of pubic hair transplant he would like for you to get.
Hmm.
So just go get one of those. Pretend that you want a pubic hair transplant.
Right.
Get
right.
A bunch of those swatches, then rub them on your glass dong.
Do they have to take fur from a different part of your body?
No, they make that synthetic. That's the whole thing. It's synthetic. The goal here is to become a sex cyborg.
I see.
So if you were getting, like, fur from
so
something
skull.
Else... Yeah, you'd just be a fur abomination.
Right.
If it was fur from another animal or from somewhere else on your body. Jeez.
So...
Like those pervert guys who get, like they start going bald, and so they're like, well, why don't you just transplant some of my ass hair
would you
onto
then,
my head?
Would you then have to get the same thing on... Would you have to get the synthetic... fibers on your head so that the carpet would match the drapes?
Yes, so the carpet... You know, I always have that phrase in my head as the curtains matching the drapes.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it does. It makes as much sense as any tautology. Because why, yes, they do. Now ask me something meaningful. Butthole. They would call you a butthole if
would
you
they?
Asked them that. Pretty sure they would.
Weird.
So what have you guys been up to, Minecraft?
Actually, Fallout 3, somewhat more
you
than
mean, Minecraft. You mean, oh, Freudian slip there, buddy.
Yeah.
You mean
Fallout
New Vegas.
Oh, well.
Fallout it's, 3
it's,
2.
Yeah, it's still Fallout 3.
It is.
It's
also been
extra Fallout 3.
I've been sick.
Yeah, you've been real depressing lately.
Real
you and
depressing.
Your, yeah, you and your, like, I can't do anything because I'm sick, and then I'm going to play video games for... All night.
I played a lot of video games. I worked a lot today.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I almost got a tavern revamp done. I think I'm going to finish the tavern revamp tomorrow morning.
That's
and
awesome.
I think I'm definitely rolling out the tavern revamp tomorrow.
That's awesome, man.
Just in time for us to start thinking about a Halloween event.
Woo!
Thinking about it.
We've been thinking about it before tomorrow.
But I've also been playing a lot of New Vegas. I kind of put it away in disgust last night.
God. Really?
Yeah, because there is this bug... There is a bug in the
on
PC
Steam.
Version of Fallout New Vegas where every time you start the game, it replaces your quick save with the first quick save that you ever did.
Oh.
And so it's fine under normal circumstances, because what I do when I'm playing is I quick save, and then I will fairly regularly, like especially before I quit or before before some major decision gets made, I will make a real save. But the game crashed, and I lost like 45 minutes of progress.
That sucks.
Yeah, and it was, I had done a lot. I had accomplished a lot in that 45 minutes. If it had just been 45 minutes of wandering around, taking things out of boxes. How
but
do you
then
feel
you
about...
Then you wouldn't be able to remember which boxes you had and which ones you hadn't.
But it would be an exciting adventure all over again. It would be like a new process of awesome discovery.
That's true. It is alarming to me how much I enjoy exploring randomly generated caverns in Minecraft.
Yep.
It is just a lot of fun.
Taking things out of boxes.
And I don't know why.
You know what you don't like is, say, exploring randomly generated dungeons in Torchlight.
I haven't played Torchlight.
You didn't have a lot of fun exploring dungeons in Diablo.
Sure. It wasn't really as exploratory. You couldn't change the environment at all. Like, you couldn't... I don't know what it is. Like,
The ability to drop markers and carve out a tunnel a little better so it's easier to see where you're going and...
And the fear of monsters as opposed to the inevitability of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot going for it, the feeling of it, you know? The super rare things like diamonds that you're, like, always hoping to find and stuff.
But anyway, Fallout New Vegas. How do you feel about it, Riff?
I enjoy it. I enjoy it same as I enjoyed the original Fallout 3.
How much have you played?
I got last night... to that first town that the Legion came through and set it all on fire.
Spoilers!
And
Nippleburg or
whatever. Yeah, but I didn't say what it was called. So
Nippleburg?
It's
Nippleburg. Yeah, no, it's...
See, I got there and wandered around that vicinity a little bit.
I like the towns named after broken signs trope.
Oh, I hadn't even noticed that was what was going on.
Have you been to Novak yet?
No, I've heard that it exists.
Novak is named after a no vacancy sign on a motel that's got most of the letters fallen off.
Nice.
And like Arafu in Fallout 3, because there was that sign that said "careful" and the ends of it had been shot off.
Oh, huh.
So it was just a sign.
I never even noticed that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
It's a neat. Yeah. It's a neat idea. Although, you know. How is it that you can read, but you don't know that sign said "careful," or whatever? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But maybe you do. Maybe you like.
Yeah, or maybe it just came to be called that over time. There's a dinosaur in Novak. I think they transplanted the dinosaur from that rest stop going from Arizona into California, and they put it in Nevada in this game. Because it's a dinosaur with a gift shop inside it.
Uh-huh.
And it's all filled with crazy-ass creationist propaganda. It's not really filled with creationist propaganda. It's filled with a whole bunch of souvenir rocket ships.
Huh.
If you can get the guy to give you the key to the storage room, you can get all of the friggin' souvenir rocket ships and souvenir dinosaurs that you want.
Do they help you at all?
Yeah. You need some of the rockets for a quest at some point. But, yeah, I'm having fun with it. It's hard for me to say very many good things about it now because I'm so betrayed.
Yeah, I am. I have experienced one freeze bug so far, and I so frequently get that slight pause while a texture loads that makes me blink and go, "Oh shit, is it gonna crash again?"
Huh.
And it just the same way the original Fallout 3 was. I just feel like it's.
That's
a foregone conclusion that as I get to the end of this game, it's going to be crashing on me every 2 hours.
If the game is basically the same engine, why are there all these bugs?
I don't know.
That's really strange to me. That awesome video that you showed me on Kotaku that was linked to on Kotaku.
Yeah,
from
the intro sequence where the doctor's head
that
rotates
is hilarious.
Around.
Yeah, that
was
pretty amazing.
Cool. Apparently, that's due to a corrupted mesh file. What the fuck is a mesh file?
I have been watching you guys play this game some, and it does not appeal to me, and I don't know why. Like, I haven't like gotten engaged in the story at all. So all I'm seeing are these random bits of you of people like wandering around and talking, like little snippets of conversation, and it just seems very. I don't know. Like,
to me, it's less about the story than it is about the sort of atmosphere, the ambiance of the world. And I think this is partly like.
We have a distinct
disconnect. While we're arguing about what things should be the case in the new game, which we're trying to approach from like a sort of a real game standpoint, the things that we think are important are, I think, telling in terms of what we enjoy about other games. Like, you feel like it is very important for there to be a cohesive backstory that explains all of the
or at least touches, the possibility of
the
one.
Little touches of it that you see. I feel that it is just as good if you just kind of let the player make up their own backstory. And
Star Control 2, one of our favorite games. I feel like they had a coherent and consistent story.
You would feel like it was just
ambiance.
Wait, are we talking about the story of the game, or are we talking about the backstory of the game? Because I pretty much know for a fact from reading interviews with them that they had this kind of vague idea of what had happened in the past.
Sure, but they...
And that's what they were basing everything on, but it was extremely vague.
Yeah, but it doesn't...
When they were being asked a bunch of questions, I'm pretty sure they were just like, oh, well, I guess we must have just... And then they were kind of making up their answers as the opportunity came up for them to make up an answer. You know,
but the story was consistent. Like, the thing is, it from the player's point of view, it doesn't matter as long as it's consistent. I just don't want there to be inconsistencies or like problems. Like, you know, I don't want there to be situations where like this
unless
just doesn't
those inconsistencies point out glitches in the system, it means they changed.
Sure. But like, I don't want somebody to be taken out of it because of some weird narrative. Like loophole or something that just doesn't make any goddamn sense, right?
I feel like almost nobody plays like that.
I mean, if you're following along a story and something doesn't make sense, you're going to notice that it doesn't make sense.
I want to know, like, in the word game, especially since we're hoping that it will sort of be exciting to people and we'll make an MMO-style thing out of it, like, I want it to be able to expand easily into a world that, like, has a coherent, consistent set of rules that we can, like, be bound by, you know? If we're going to break them, it should be for a really important reason, you know, that kind of thing, as opposed to just, let's just do something that looks cool.
Whereas I feel like if we don't know what the fundamental cosmological underpinnings of the world are, then we can way more readily put ourselves into the shoes of, like, just a citizen of that world and come up with a theory as to why, and then, know what, we've founded a church based on this theory.
Sure.
And then over here, we've got another idea of it. Like, and that's the thing, like, I don't want to delve too deep because I am afraid of constraining...
Balrogs?
I'm afraid of Balrogs. I'm afraid of, what I'm afraid of is Balrog from Street Fighter 2 because he's a black guy and I don't care for the blacks. So now that's just out there.
There's one thing I learned from Facebook is that I only have one black friend.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Huh. Do I know anybody black on Facebook?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, I was like, man, my friends list is remarkably white.
Well, I mean, there's going to be some, you know, that's kind of a self-selecting thing across cultures, right? I mean, I feel like in general, if you looked at people, there's probably no one who's... friends are half black and half white, except perhaps someone who is themselves half black and half white.
Michael Jackson.
Yes. Michael Jackson's corpse is Facebook account. If you want to be his Facebook friend, it doesn't matter if you're black or white.
It's true.
The more you know.
Yeah, so, I am not opposed to not, like, having a fully fleshed out story where every question has been answered. Like, I'm not saying that we have to have that going into it. I just don't want there to be, like, if we're doing something, I want to understand why we're doing something.
Well, we don't want to just keep, so with KOL, it's okay to just keep making up different cosmologies, right? Because we can have a whole bunch of conflicting cosmologies because, you know what? It's a parody of games where they don't put enough thought into stuff like that.
Right.
No. But I mean, you know, it's like, all right, I just decided that, you know, there's the divine ether, which is where that one item of the month comes from. And then there's the infernal abyss, which is where the seals live. And then there's also Hades, which is like hell. But then there's Valhalla, which is like heaven.
you know, we have done things like, you know, smiling and winking and dancing, mean things, and we've kind of stuck to those for the most part.
Sure.
Right? So, like, we've built up our own little tropes.
But the thing is, the reason that I feel like I those happened not on purpose.
Sure. No,
right?
I understand.
That is the worry that I have. Like, I feel like...
I'm not saying we should build everything from the front. I just... When we build something, I want to analyze it for 5 minutes and be like, does this make any sense? And if it doesn't, then we just tweak it until it does.
I mean, I feel like what I want is to say... like because I think people connect with things if they're grounded in reality,
mm-hmm.
right? I want to say, all right, so the church in the word game is kind of like Philip Pullman's version of the church, but is distinctly Catholic. It's distinctly like Inquisition,
right?
Catholic.
Sure.
So how do we make that, which is identifiably Catholic, work into the cosmology of this world where everything is like, well, you know, like everything is based on words, right?
Well, but I think to the individual people, it isn't necessarily, right? Because that's what we were talking about.
No, but to the people who are tuned in, like, that's what the clergy are talking about, right?
Not and necessarily. So, that's what that crazy cult is talking
well,
about.
Well, that's what a crazy cult is talking about. But that's their... So, but I mean, what the clergy can be talking about is, say, like, the sort of, like... Hebrew underpinnings where the way that everything was created was by a creator giving it a name.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so that fits in pretty well with...
We need to be a little careful with that because the closer we get to actual religious precepts, the more people will just assume that we're some sort of weird religious game.
Well,
you know?
Not if they're the bad guys.
to sidestep for a second, when I was at Comic-Con and I was... going around handing out Choose Your Own
because
Adventures.
Because it had the word kingdom in it, and you were handing it out. Everybody thought you were a Jehovah's Witness.
Yes, right? Which I was like, wow. I never even thought of that until I sort of... It was just the looks that people gave me. Like, I could tell that they were like, yeah, I don't want any of that religious crap kind of stuff. Like, I mean, nobody said anything, but I was like, you know...
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't help that you were wearing a crown of thorns.
I was getting dressed up for the costume ball.
All right.
Later. Yeah.
You were dressing as the Big Lebowski in a crown of thorns.
Yes.
He wore a robe.
Yeah.
So, am I the only one who got from the Big Lebowski that he was meant to have been the second coming of Christ?
I didn't get it.
I've never...
I mean, I guess he's in a
ending
robe.
Narration. The ending narration to me just flat out says to the watcher, says to the viewer, this was the second coming of Christ. That this is the Coen brothers' story of the modern second coming of Christ.
I never heard it before. No.
Okay.
Did not think that.
Then I guess it is just me.
I mean, it might not just be you, but it wasn't
me. But the last line of the movie is something about the dude just still there taking it easy for all us sinners. And what the fuck does that mean?
I mean, if the Coen brothers are Jewish, then maybe he's the first coming of Christ.
Oh, right, because Christ has never been here before.
Yeah.
In fact, who the fuck, this Christ guy,
I do not think he exists.
I don't know who this guy is. no, just saying. My point is that I think in general that for every Tolkien who had a really solid grasp on the sort of backing of the world that he was fucking around in, and who, I might add, wrote a lot of really, really boring shit about that world, most of which people don't care to consume... Even though it was clearly resonant enough that, like, it had a fan base. The thing that strikes me about the Lord of the Rings fan base is that I think, by and large, they probably have not read most of Lord of the Rings. Because it's pretty boring.
Yeah, I mean, the ideas are cool, but
the
actual stories themselves are pretty...
The execution reads like... It's like trying to read the Bible, right? I mean, it's a very similar thing. Like, there's a lot of really cool stories in the Bible, but then there's a lot of just very boring parts that are just, like, rules about where different things go on your plate, you know? Like, and it's like, well, okay. There was clearly not... They didn't have a guy whose job it was to, like, punch this up for the primetime audience, you know, like that.
Right.
My you know, and like I have already said in this conversation, my worry is that you spend too much time really getting an idea of what this world works like. You end up with this great big document that you don't want to show anybody because you don't want to give away your secrets, and like no actual palatable product for people to enjoy.
You know, maybe what I will do, because I have been building up this document, and maybe I'll just keep it to myself. And
I
will just decide how the world works for reals.
And then whenever I want to come up with something cool, new group that does something cool,
yeah,
you can suggest some ways.
I'll figure out ways in which it will, yeah, it will not conflict. That can work.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
I think that's how it generally works.
I don't mind being like
a lot of game companies that have a consistent narrative world for their game keep that sort of Bible that just nobody outside of the company ever sees.
I think as a person creating content for this game, I'm better off not seeing it. I think I'm better off with it not existing, but if it has to exist, I would rather it exist in a place that I can't see it.
Yeah. Well, that's fair enough.
You know. And I mean, but maybe maybe that's the right approach, right?
Yeah,
maybe having like a
reasonable
continuity guy is the way to do it.
Because, yeah, I sort of agree with both of you. I mean, the freedom to make stuff up without having to worry about what's come before is
necessary in order for you to create something that's cool.
Well, I don't know, necessary, but it's helpful. It gives you a much greater degree of freedom.
But
on the other hand, I also agree with Kevin's opinion that narrative consistency is important.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess in a way I've gotten spoiled by working on KOL, where narrative consistency is not particularly important.
Right.
Or at least it wasn't in the beginning, and it got... But that's the thing, like, in sidestepping that consistency process in the beginning, a tremendous bulk of stuff that was created that became what we were doing. Are you signaling me to do something, or...
I think somebody's cord is hitting their microphone or something like that. There's some noise, and I'm wondering if
you
it's...
Okay.
So I was trying to look at Riff, but I can't see him because he's behind... He's behind not just one, but three monitors.
Yeah, what is that other monitor doing? That was when I thought this monitor was broken, but it turned out it was the computer.
I think that monitor is also...
No, I don't think it is. I think that's a perfectly functional monitor that belongs in the bubs.
It works really well as a door.
That might be the one that's a nightmare.
It does make a better door than a window. What were we talking about when we got into this in the first place? You know what I was going to talk about was how something that I like about Fallout New Vegas. Which I have talked to Liker Shampoo about this, because there is a trait that you can pick.
Mm-hmm.
So Fallout has like perks, which are things you get on leveling up, but there are also traits that you pick during character creation, which are like sort of like a good and bad combo thing. Like, so I picked one that was like needs glasses. So it's like you're at -1 perception unless you're wearing glasses, in which case you're at +1 perception. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't you do that? Because it's just, you gotta find some fucking glasses and then you're fine, right? It doesn't, if glasses stopped you from wearing hats, then that would be like a meaningful thing in terms of the game logic, I think, but they
sure.
don't.
I wonder if it might be that glasses are rare.
There is a pair of glasses sitting next to you on a table when you
that's
at character
the first
creation.
One. I haven't seen one since then.
I did not see those, and I found one like half an hour into the game.
Really?
Just
where?
Like on a dude that I killed. Oh. I just killed a dude and he was wearing glasses.
So it's the ones that I've been wearing, that original pair, have not yet
so
been
you also
destroyed.
Took that. You
also
took
yeah,
that
I
trait.
Also took that one.
I
built the same character
I forget what the
last
trait was
game,
called.
And she wore
four eyes or something. Like it was.
And what does it do when you have glasses on?
If you have glasses on, you get +1 perception. If you don't have glasses on, you have -1 perception.
Huh. But I wonder
is
if what might happen is that
it's on a scale of 1 to 10.
If those glasses eventually wear out and get destroyed.
I mean, I've hung on to another couple of pairs of glasses just in case that happens, right? But one of those traits is a thing called Wild Wasteland, which turns on a bunch of stupid shit. So if you don't want a bunch of stupid shit in your game, don't take that trait.
What is
their
the stupid
it is
shit?
It is their like kind of silliness.
Ah.
It turns on a bunch of silliness, and if you want a more serious game, you go without that trait. And I went without that trait because I could have done without. In Fallout 3, I could have done without the alien spacecraft.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
I could have done without that entire...
But that was the DLC.
It was DLC. I could have done without it, though.
Okay.
I could have done without that being in the continuity of a game that whose continuity I care about. Right? But, you know, I was okay with the, like, crazy hillbilly swamp dweller
mutants. Did you ever play any Ultima Outlands games?
No. That was the Ultima spin-off series that took place on Mars.
That was one of them. One of them was, turn of the 20th century trip to Mars, where you play as, like, the party is, like, Jules Verne and Nikola Tesla and stuff like that. Like, you interact...
Oh, really?
Yeah, you
interact... That sounds awesome.
You interact with... It was fucking cool. And, like, I've never met anybody else that has ever played it. But it was awesome. And, like, you know, they had a really interesting sort of narrative, and it was also a little silly. It was like, you know, it's like steampunk... Like, I don't know. The steampunk thing before steampunk was cool, basically. Because it was at the World's Fair where one of them... I think Jules Verne was demonstrating a rocket or something like that, and it, like, took off with the whole, like, assembly in the, like... room that the rocket was sort of housed, the room that was inside the rocket, and then they all ended up on Mars. And there are, of course, all these actual canals on Mars, and then there's, like, robots there that have been working for, you know, some number of years, and, you know, like, the whole story is, like, figuring out what's going on Mars and stuff. It's super
so
neat.
So it's like Zack McCracken and the Alien Mindbenders.
Might be, yeah.
Who was I talking... I was talking to somebody recently who played... We bonded over Zack McCracken and the Alien Mindbenders. I don't know. I drink and talk to people.
All the time.
Yeah, it's weird.
You haven't been drinking as much this week?
No, I haven't. I've been fucking sick. I realized as I was drinking our traditional pre-show margaritas that was the first booze I had since, like, Sunday. What the fuck?
One of my high school friends was listening to KOL radio show transcripts. Or not listening to old radio show, not transcripts, archives.
Mm-hmm.
To, like, pass some time at work, and I directed her to the infamous drunken show from February of 2009, and she was just immensely amused listening to
you passing out on air.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
You know, the rest of us on stuff are fucking professionals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or non-drinkers.
You hold it together. Yeah, you didn't drink. Yeah. You were just horrified. By all the things that I said. Scully was horrified by a lot of the things that I said. I could feel it.
Don't remember any of the things you said. Yeah. Which is why we're still friends.
Oh, come on. I never say anything bad about you.
What are you talking about?
All right. No more often than I do it when I'm sober.
That's true. That is fair enough.
I'm curious as to how these other studios do it. So I feel like with World of Warcraft, like Chris Metzen is pretty much like the lore guy. Right?
Yeah.
Like, he decides what things are named.
Is it Chris Metzen, or is it some... I thought it was somebody else.
No, Chris Metzen's the, like, story guy.
Okay.
And I'm convinced that he just has a dictionary with a bunch of, like, fantasy-sounding words, and then whenever it's time to name something, he just randomly picks two words out of that dictionary.
I see.
Dire Burrow. That sounds like a clan of mole people. We'll have a mole people, the Dire Burrow clan. See? Done. I could do Chris Metzen's job.
Cool.
No, I couldn't, actually. I think that Chris Metzen is probably an asshole, and sources have confirmed that on all of the occasions I've had to have sources confirm that.
Well, but what made you say
some
that?
Some cool idea. He just looks like kind of an asshole.
Oh.
He's got this kind of rockabilly thing going, and he's...
His face has no eyes
or
mouth.
He's got a lot of tattoos.
Just vertical,
like a sort of
vertical slit.
Yeah, like a pulsating sphincter slit on his face. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, it's a lot of cool World
William
of Warcraft
S.
lore
Burroughs
comes out of it.
Character kind of thing going.
You know, Chris will just pull something out of his face. That's what they say whenever they need an answer to a question.
Oh my god!
Is for Chris Metzen to pull something out of his face. No, he looks like guys that I've met who were assholes, and so it was a snap judgment. But, like, I've asked some people who knew him, and they've said, "Yeah, he's kind of a dick." So, that's you know, I again
as
my,
long as you've
my track record
independent
of judging a book by its cover, 100%. 100%.
What other books have you judged by their covers?
Oh, I don't know. Every once in a while, I'll be like, that girl looks like a bitch. And then I'll marry her.
Oh!
Not really. I mean, yes.
Wow.
Anyway, what else have you been playing? Anything other than Fallout?
Fallout and Minecraft. I haven't gone back to Planescape yet because of Fallout and Minecraft.
I played some Train Yard on the iPhone.
Ooh, Train Yard on the iPhone is pretty fun.
Yeah. It's like a neat little logic puzzle thing. That's
it's
like,
weird. When I go several days, when I'm sick and I go several days without smoking a cigar, I miss my iPhone. I'm like, oh, I remember iPhone
games.
Oh,
yeah, because you like sit there and you play while you're smoking.
Yeah.
The only problem with that I've had with Train Yard is that I feel like the finger tracking is not particularly good. It's hard to get the path to go exactly where you want.
Train Yard is a kind of an interesting like spatial timing puzzle game.
Yeah.
You might like it, Riff, yeah. If you're looking for a...
It's like it's very much like a logic puzzle that becomes more and more complicated.
I'll buy pretty much any halfway interesting-looking iPhone game if it's only a couple bucks.
It was $1 as of last night.
I've only played the free version, but I've gotten probably an hour of entertainment out of the demo, so I will probably...
The free version is completely different than the pay version, which is weird.
Well, I think it's just a sprinkling of... I think it's just a sprinkling of levels at different difficulties.
But the names are all different.
Are they?
Well, because your cities were completely different than mine.
Mine were all Canadian.
Well, mine were too, but yours were...
Blamford.
Yeah.
Was it Blamford?
I don't even know.
Blanston? What? It was... You had a name of a city, which sounded like a city that I would make up.
Yeah, it was weird.
Bramston?
I will look it up right now.
Bramblin.
Branston Pickle?
That was the joke.
Blanston.
Bramford, maybe, or something? Bramford Pickle?
This is deep.
Brampton.
Yeah, Brampton. Because it's like Hampton, but you replace the H with a BR.
Yeah.
That's funny. Taking a word and then replacing one of the continents, one of the consonants, taking a planet like, and like, replacing one like of the continents
Brinver.
With another continent with a slightly different name.
Brinver or Brenix?
Like Blorth, yeah, America.
Yeah. Did you say Blorth?
Yes.
But don't you mean Brorth?
No.
It doesn't have to be BR?
No.
Oh.
It can be BL.
Wow, I didn't understand.
It can be BR or BL.
Oh. Yeah. What about BFF?
OMG.
Bf-America?
Okay. Bf-America. Bf-America doesn't even start with a... America doesn't start with
Bro-America.
Oh, God.
Scully wrote some sweet bro... One of the things that you can do in the new tavern is play pool with a frat boy, and he wrote some pretty sweet stories about you winning or losing, or especially winning or especially losing football with a frat boy. There were a lot of sweet bro jokes, some of which he ripped off from Cirrus. Cirrus, who made a pretty sweet house in our sweet underground town on our sweet Minecraft server.
Yeah.
It is pretty sweet.
I have just once again unleashed our own demise as an outfit. This outfit gets more and more chicken shit with every decision I make. Nobody wants out of this chicken shit outfit. Everybody likes getting paid to play Minecraft, I think is the long and short of it.
As long as we get paid, as long as we generate revenue with our awesome Minecraft world, then that's okay, right?
Yeah, because I can definitely imagine a way in which that
people will totally buy it from us.
If eventually Minecraft becomes like a viable platform, and we can sell. Yeah, I could imagine
what happens
buying
if we all,
a Minecraft
if we all just,
dungeon for a dollar. Like if he made an app store,
sure,
where you could buy a world from somebody, I would pay a dollar. I would pay a dollar for that shit in a big hurry. I was thinking of something else that I would pay a dollar for today, and I don't remember what.
Was it a blowjob?
You know what it was? You know, I figured out what it was. I just remembered what it was, because I've been occasionally reading, because the guys on Kill 10 Rats are at least marginally excited about Guild Wars 2.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm honestly kind of excited about too. I think that when Guild Wars 2 launches, that we should figure out a way for you and I to play it for a week, or you know,
perhaps
for 12
a free week trial,
or 12 hours or whatever. That's the thing. There is no, with Guild Wars, you buy the game, and then it's
play forever.
It's online.
It's like,
yeah,
Diablo.
No, yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
They were talking about a thing, this contentious feature. And I could not for the life of me understand what the fuck would possibly be contentious about this feature. There was a thing that they announced that there was a bunch of grumblings on the forums about. One of the things that they sell in the cash store is this, like, transubstantiation crystal or something? Transmutation crystal? That what it does is it takes two pieces of gear and it gives you a piece of gear that has the model of the first piece and all of the stats of the second piece.
Right. Yeah.
And I was like, why would anyone complain about that?
Well,
like, why would anybody complain about that being a thing that you can sell?
I mean, it sounds awesome to me, but if Guild Wars is mainly a PvP-oriented game,
yeah,
maybe people are worrying that people will disguise really awesome gear as really shitty gear.
Which, you know what, that is
which,
fucking
I mean, yeah,
awesome.
That sounds like a cool idea
yeah,
to me.
Who cares? But I mean, it's not,
you just
because
you can no longer trust what people you can no longer trust what people are wearing to be.
But is that ever a thing? I mean, is it ever a thing in World of Warcraft where you're like, oh
yeah,
fuck, that guy's got the shoulders of douchebago,
yeah,
I need to stay away from him?
Yeah, no, I mean, like,
oh, see, I didn't know that.
Like,
it would never even occur to me.
Especially with weapons and stuff.
It, like, by the time I saw what somebody was wearing, I was already fucking dead every time I tried to PvP.
You never saw somebody with, like, you never PvP'd with somebody who had Wind Fury?
No.
Okay. It's fucking obnoxious.
Literally, by the time I saw someone, I was already dead. Every time I've ever PvP'd in any video game.
Really?
Yeah.
But what about, you enjoyed Battlegrounds to some extent. Like, you played.
If I could avoid people. If I ever got anybody's attention, I was immediately dead. I was just instantly dead. Like, oh, okay, there's a little, so this is my impression of me PvPing in World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
All right, what's over here? I'm gonna run, okay, are those guys on my team? Let me look at the map. Okay, here's the map. All right, so, yeah, those guys are on my team, and it looks like they're going to this flag. All right, so I'm going to turn the map off. I'm going to run over to where this flag... Ooh, it's like a barn. I'm going to stand by this barn, because that's what these other dudes are doing. Oh, hey, it's a bad guy. All right, sweet. All right, so hit my button to cast... okay, so now there's like a little...
You had one button. It was
there's
a fucking
like
lightning bolt.
There's like a tornado over my head, and I can't move or cast anything. Oh, okay, 5 seconds until I can resurrect it. So like that's my experience of PvPing in World of Warcraft. Is I literally, by the time I know that I'm supposed to do something and try to start doing anything, say casting a lightning bolt at a guy, I'm already fucking dead.
Were raid encounters so much more accessible because it was just the guy was always standing there and you like walk up to them and start the fight? Like what made raiding work? Like, is PvP fundamentally different because like people are sneaking around? Or
in PvP, everyone is running
so
in circles around you, and you are literally dead in like 1 second. That is why PvP is a problem. Like, maybe there was some sort of reactive defense thing I could have done that would make it so I wasn't just immediately fucking dead, literally without even being able to use a single ability against the person who had killed me. But if there was that ability, I don't know what it was. Because literally, as soon as anyone noticed me, I was dead before I could do anything at all. And that's my impression of in the one MMO that I've played the most of, that's what PvP was like. And
wow.
So that's why I'm so PvP
focused. I can imagine why you didn't
think about the development
of
AOL.
Like playing on a PvP server.
No, I mean that was the thing. The threat. The experience of playing on a PvP server was
just
if anyone notices me, I am dead.
I see.
So that's kind of exciting.
It was exciting.
You know, and if anybody notices me and there happens to be somebody on my guild around, anybody other than me who apparently just is playing some totally different fucking game than I am, because then whoever was in my guild would just like rape that dude in half in one hit. And then I would sit there and, you know, pick berries off of whatever bush I was trying to pick berries off of before that guy killed me, while they did funny things like build a campfire on his corpse.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Yeah, anyway. Transfer to a PvE server.
Yep.
For World of Warcraft. And I fucked around and didn't buy my heirloom items before they got 5 times more expensive. I did not expect this patch to come out so far ahead of time.
After it is like 2.5 months, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well.
Or 2 months, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not really, because next month is November, and then it's like a week into December. It's like seven weeks?
I thought it was late December.
No, it's December 7th.
It would have been funny if they had waited until December 24th, 2012 for Cataclysm.
But I was thinking, I would pay $5 for that in World of Warcraft.
For, oh, to be able to, because you want your fucking wolf shoulders.
Because I want my sweet wolf shoulder pads. They're shoulder pads with wolves on them, and the wolves are shooting lightning bolts out of their eyes. That, okay,
I assume you kept those?
Is there anything cooler? B, is there anything that is more fucking lightning bolt slinging elemental shaman focused? You know what? I can turn into a wolf. I can turn into a wolf, and I can shoot lightning bolts. So the best thing for me to wear is
the
thing
wolf
that has wolf
also
heads.
Have wolf shoulders that are shooting lightning bolts?
Because
that would look like a three-headed wolf.
I would trade those in.
A three-headed wolf? Yeah. I assume you kept... So here's the question. You kept those shoulders that you were like... Do you carry them around with you so you can put them on?
No.
Okay.
See, I keep them in my...
That was my question about how devoted you are to this whole, like, wolf shoulder enterprise.
I keep them in a bag in my bank.
Sure.
In case I need to put them on for some reason.
Right. But you don't carry them with you so that at the drop of a hat you can put them on.
No. If I could have a thing where it would put them on whenever I went into combat, it would put my new shoulders on whenever I went into combat, I would... Like, that's the thing. I want those fucking shoulders, but I don't want to be stuck with the enchantments of 10 levels ago. Which is why I looked at this transmute stem
swap
gymnasium.
Gear when you start combat, I think, right?
Yeah.
At least that used to be the
case. While you're in combat, you can't change gear. So anything that's reactive
wouldn't work.
By definition would not work. So I would really like
$5? You would pay $5.
I think I would pay $5 for that.
I mean,
I would certainly
pay $5 for one item.
I would pay $5 for the ability to do it 5 times.
Yeah.
Sure.
Huh. I never found anything that was so amazingly cool looking that I would have cared. I don't know if it was just my particular.
Well,
I would love to be able to like take some other classes stuff and wear that. Like the warlock stuff was super fucking cool.
See, I think the thing is like for that PvP purposes, I feel like they make gear so that people's silhouettes identify them as their class.
Yeah, but especially with weapons, they made them like the really kick-ass weapons were really distinctive. You could really tell what they were.
But did that make that big of a difference? I mean, in PvP, does somebody's weapon make
a
huge difference?
The proc on a weapon could make a huge difference. You would.
How long would you say, when you were PvPing in World of Warcraft, it was just you versus another person?
Sure.
How long would you say that a fight lasted?
It depended. I mean, because if I was fighting another class that could heal, we could be fighting for 5-10 minutes. Because that's the thing. Like, if I don't
understand what the fuck. Even people that were lower level than me, I was literally dead before I could cast a single spell. Every single time I fought anyone.
Wow.
Under any circumstances, ever.
Like, I had a fight with a paladin once that lasted, like, 15 minutes. Because...
It was just, like, a mana attrition?
Well, but it wasn't, because, like, they have this, like, once-per-hour use thing where it just completely heals them. Right?
Lay on hands, right?
Yeah, lay on hands, right. So I forced him to use that, and, like there's a desperate... Another desperation thing that they have. Like, it's got, like a 10-minute cooldown or something like that. Or, like, did back then. And... It was just super annoying. Like, this super long fight that lasted forever. Because he kept healing, I kept healing. We kept, like... He kept stunning me and trying to, like, beat me down, but he, like, couldn't do enough damage. That was the problem, right? Like, because we couldn't do enough super fast damage.
No, I feel sorry for you.
Yeah.
I feel really sorry for you.
I know.
I mean, based on my experience of PvP, I feel really... I really feel...
It sounds like you have a lot of sympathy. For my plight.
I found of Fallout New Vegas, speaking of video games, it seems to me to be significantly more linear than Fallout 3 was.
You think so?
Yeah, I feel like a lot more of the map is locked.
When you say linear, do you just mean gated? Because I feel like you were talking about a bunch of choice points that... You're going to have to choose to do different stuff.
Well, okay, yes. I mean, I guess it is. I guess it is gated. I mean, so
that's a different thing, though, right? Like, because linear means like you are following a single track.
I feel like
highway.
In Fallout 3, I wandered around until I was a high enough level that I just kind of sliced through the main storyline quest stuff like butter and didn't have any trouble with any of the combat. And I would like to do that now. But I can't, because, like, everywhere I go is way too high a level for me, except the next place that the game wants me to go.
I see.
The next place that the quest progression wants me to go.
You can't go back and level up if you wanted to?
there's nowhere to go to level up is the point that I'm trying
there's
to
like
make.
There's no random wandering monsters and stuff?
Maybe.
Yeah, but they don't give you a huge amount of XP.
I see.
I feel like the more of your XP is coming through quest completion
and like
one-time things like
hacking new terminals and picking new locks and stuff, like which you can only do once, and you can only do like if there are new places to go.
Sure, sure. Interesting.
I mean, in a way, it's nice because it's not constantly making me feel like, oh, you know, I shouldn't be here because this terminal requires way more hacking
if
than it's possible for me to have.
You played, what, 5 hours, maybe?
I think I had nine on
okay.
my...
Because it's, you know, what, it's like, what, a 50-hour game? Maybe it branches out at some point. But 9 or 10 hours, and you think it's pretty linear. That's interesting. Like, maybe it doesn't ever change. Like war.
Like war. Yeah. Jalandi says, I just got a new phone and I forgot to put Freddy Got Fingered on it. Can you do a PSA about this on the show tonight? Thanks. It's important. If I had read this ahead of time, I would have actually tried to come up with like a punchy.
Would you have recorded
thing.
One?
Yeah.
Wait a second. Let me put that. Let me just play that. And then every show.
PSA, yeah. We could do voices. We could figure out some way in which you either weren't cool or didn't survive because you didn't have Freddy Got Fingered on your phone. And then we could do a little teleplay.
The new overthinking it about Jackass 3D is pretty good.
Yeah.
I should start listening to Overthinking It, I guess.
You should. It's good. It's got, like, so I feel like we have diverged in what we like in terms of podcasts. And I listen to stuff just because it's funny. Like, I listen to stuff that is just humor podcasts.
I'm way more interested in edification podcasts.
Yeah. Because you're a pretentious asshole.
Yeah.
It's kind of, that's the story there.
Guess.
Oh, if it's not at least as educational as This American Life, I'm not interested.
Radiolab is as educational as This American
Radiolab
Life.
Radiolab is like twice as educational as
This
American
Life. I know,
it's
great.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. You know what else it has? Twice the fucking, like, volume discrepancy between the
it's
loudest
not,
and quietest
it's not so bad.
Things.
I wish I had listened to more of Radiolab before I had met Jad Abumrad. Because I feel like I would have had more things to say to him.
Oh, yeah. Did you actually talk to him?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we like...
Did you guys make out?
Yeah, it was hot. We were at the bar trying to get a drink, and that took like half an hour, so I had a decent conversation with him.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He seemed like a nice guy.
He's great.
Is he younger than us?
I don't know.
And is that depressing?
He's got
I think he's
family.
Slightly older than us. He's got 10
kids. Yeah.
But he's Indian. They have kids really early, because their parents decide who they're going to marry. And then they get married at, like, 13. They're already doctors, though, so it's okay.
So they can deliver,
everything
they can
I
deliver
about,
their own children.
Everything I know about human culture, I made up just now. I'm sorry. Everything I need to know about human culture, I made up just now. That'd be a good poster. I should make that poster. I should say that
oh,
and then
man.
Just make
you know
up
what
a bunch
I want
of facts to put
so
on the bottom
badly?
Of the poster.
I want a bunch of... the scenery posters from Fallout 3 as posters.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh,
why is not? Why are they not just marketing objects? The shit out of that and just making those available?
You know what's striking me about this game is that I am not so in love with Las Vegas. Like, the iconography of, like, 60s Las Vegas doesn't really speak to me the way that I feel like it might need to speak to you.
Like,
in
it
order
was billed
to,
as a place that was, like, not... touched by the, like, ravages of war or the, you know, the cataclysm or whatever, so is it less post-apocalyptic and therefore less interesting to you because you're only interested in post-apocalyptic things?
I think maybe. I mean, it's fairly limited. Like, the extent to which...
Are you secretly working behind everybody's back to bring around some sort of nuclear holocaust?
Yeah, because I think it would be cool. That's why I keep wanting to go backpacking so that I can learn how to survive.
I've wondered that. You never returned that survival manual I lent you.
I know.
Interesting.
I'm keeping it because then I'll have it and you won't.
Just don't get rid of it
also,
in your massive
guns.
Purge of books.
Yeah. I could probably lose 40 pounds of shit I borrowed from people. Well, let's see. Should we do a break or not do a break?
I could get more whiskey.
I could get more whiskey too.
I mean,
and
it's
I could
sitting
also,
right in front of me, so I could also
I could also
pour it while
pee, I could also pee out the whiskey that I had earlier.
All right.
We'll do a break just long enough to play Blackbird. which, wow, was like 2 minutes long.
So maybe twice.
We'll do a short break. And we're back. And I've got a lot more whiskey in my glass and a lot less whiskey in my bladder. Let's talk about Lucre.
What about Lucre?
Well, let's talk about this revolutionary idea that I just had just now. I am not going to read the forum threads about Lucre. Because I caught myself.
Yeah.
I caught myself when it was time to do some work on the tavern revamp. And I was like still super happy about working on working on the game. And still super excited about the future. And excited about the present. Maybe a little less excited about the past. That whole terrible marriage thing. But excited. And I was like, hey, what's in the forums? And then, like, the forums have gone back to, like, the fucking gameplay discussion has gone back to this just, like, wasteland of, like, every thread being, this is what's wrong with this, and this is why I'm an entitled motherfucker. And, man, speaking of entitled motherfuckers, just a brief aside here. Have you heard about the distributed denial of service attack against the Minecraft servers?
Oh, God, yeah, that was so fucking stupid.
Where they have a fucking manifesto that's like, you're not working on Minecraft enough, you asshole. You're making a bunch of money, so you need to be working on
because making the biggest update ever for Halloween. And, yeah, let's stop him doing that because he needs to fix the server.
It is because he lives on the fucking internet now, and the fucking internet is made of assholes.
Yep.
And he is suddenly a guy who's made millions of dollars making video games and doesn't know how to run a fucking business, and so he's learning how to run a business. He's learning how to run a company. He's finding an office. He's hiring people.
You have a unique perspective.
I have a unique perspective on it. Some sympathy for this guy. Although I wish I had a more sympathetic. I wish I had a more empathetic view of the amount of money that he's pulled in. But like. And so anytime you say publicly that you're doing anything other than working on the game, there are going to be a bunch of people yelling at you. And it's fine if they yell at you because you can just ignore it. Like my epiphany about the forum threads about Lucre. You know, nobody has any fucking... Like, none of the players have any ideas about Lucre that I give a shit about. Except one player, that player being Preenequeezer, who makes this other game called Twilight Heroes that has a Lucre-like thing that I've been playing, and it has a thing that I like.
Which is?
That I'm going to steal. I'm not going to steal it. I'm not going to read those threads because they will depress me and I will want to stop working.
What is Preenequeezer's take on the Lucre analog?
His take on the Lucre thing is there is... So I'm just going to pretend that this is a thing that exists in KOL so that I can describe it. Every day you can go to the place in KOL.
Bounty Hunter.
And he says, all right, I need you to do one of three things.
Right.
You can equip this bounty hunting fart.
Yep.
And adventure anywhere for 50 turns, and I'll give you a Lucre. Or you can adventure in this location that I have told you to adventure in with this thing equipped for 150 turns, and I will give you 3 Lucre. Or you can wear this thing after every 30 or 40 or 50 turns, I will tell you where you need to go, and then you go there, spend like 10 turns there, and I will give you 1 Lucre, and we'll do that 3 times over the course of the day. That's not what I like about the system. What I like about his system is that it is designed so that while I am ascending in this game, while I am retconning in Twilight Heroes, there is always a couple of days worth of shit I want to do between runs, right? Which, no stat days. Well, maybe there are. I don't know what the fucking days of the week do in Twilight Heroes. So part of this is not going to be valuable perspective for me because I kind of want it to be easier and I kind of want to watch certain numbers get bigger while certain numbers get smaller, but I don't care if it's perfect, right? So, like, I would never do something like, oh, you know, I'll be so much better off if I do this in 5 days instead of now. I'm like, no, that sounds fun. I'm going to do it now, you know? So it's like I'm trying to optimize fun as opposed to, like, trying to optimize optimization for the sake of optimal optimization's sake.
What about having fun for optimal fun's sake?
So tell me if this would piss ascenders off less.
Yeah.
If you did not do a bounty yesterday, there is a 2 Lucre bounty that is way harder. And if you did not do a bounty for the last 2 days, there is a 3 Lucre bounty that is even harder than that. And if you did not...
Harder is more turns, harder is...
Well, we'd have to figure that out. If you did not do a bounty for the last 10 days, there's a 10 lucre bounty that is, you know, say, 200 turns underwater. Or right. something that is so far the fuck out of the way that you actually have to, like, spend resources.
So the idea of being able to...
Being offered a 10 lucre bounty, can you choose the lower levels as well?
Yeah, maybe. You know, maybe there was just a fourth tier of bounty that is the storing up bounties for things that no one in their right mind would want to do. Because what we've established is that fucking speed ascenders, not in their right minds.
Huh.
Somebody asked, who was it? I think it was Kellenvor. Was it Kellenvor? I think it was Kellenvor. Kellenvor says, I know this is a tired old issue, but I'm hoping a slightly different take on it will encourage you to answer it anyway. Oh, look. A slightly different take on it has encouraged me to answer it anyway. Everybody, seriously, everybody in the fucking speed community, be more like Kellenvor. It's not that he doesn't complain. It's just that he's a nice guy. Maybe come have drinks with us. Maybe buy us lunch. Everybody in the speed community, instead of complaining, buy me a sandwich. And then I will listen to you. A lot of players, he says, spend a lot of time and energy talking about lucre and how they would fix it. Can you talk about how lucre came into being? Specifically, what were the design goals that lucre was meant to achieve? And do you feel like it's been successful in achieving them? Thanks in advance for humoring me and for all the hard work that you do, both on the game and in connecting with the players. Well, sometimes, Kellenvor, the players really make it worth it to connect with them. Thanks a lot, buddy.
We were looking for a way to get people to stop playing. We had too many players.
Yeah, we were like, well, this game is really popular, and yeah. It would be cool if a bunch of people rage quit.
Yeah.
Like, basically all at the same time.
Yep.
So that was one of our prongs. It was a multi-prong strategy.
We wanted something that was tedious and repetitive.
Yeah, something boring.
Yeah. Something that forced you to go somewhere you didn't want to go, in all likelihood. What else do we want?
So, the goals. Retention. Long-term goals.
Was definitely in there.
Having long-term goals and retention. Giving you something to do... Giving you something productive to do, even if you didn't particularly feel like paying a lot of attention to the game.
Something you could just log in every day, play your 40 turns, and get something for it.
So you log in, there's no special event, there's no update that you care about, but you're just like, click, 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 click. All right, got my lucre. I accomplished something today.
Yeah, super, super, coffee table fun thing. Yeah.
The problem, I think, is that the primary reward for this... Is
so powerful. You
know, something that's really, really powerful for speedrunners.
Yeah.
I don't think it is actually that powerful.
It's compared to most other things you can do, it's pretty powerful.
But not compared to... No, I don't think that's true. I think, compared to any other individual thing, sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, but that's the thing. Like, as an individual thing, it's hugely powerful.
Right.
Compared to any other 200 days of effort, not that it necessarily takes 200 days, but...
Compared to any other 8,000 turns.
Sure.
Right? Compared to anything else that takes 8,000 turns to get, it's not that powerful. Yeah. Right? It's... So I feel like largely what's... there are a couple things. There's the perceptual problem, right? Which is just, you know... Why does this take so long? Well, why does fucking anything take so long? You know, why does it take us 6 whole days to play all the way through all these quests? Why don't you let them do it once? Why don't you let us do it once a day? Because that'd be more fun. Why the fuck does this take so long? Why is the drop rate on this item so low? Why don't you just make it 10 times higher? Because that would be more fun. Well, that's just fucking not what it's like. You know? Like, if there's nothing hard, then nothing means anything. And so then people will say, well, what do you mean by hard? Do you just mean more boring? Yes, that's what I mean. I mean more boring. Because when I think, oh, what should we do? We should challenge our players to tolerate more boredom than anyone should ever be asked to tolerate. apparently the player base is this one hillbilly guy in the context of this conversation. So I think that if the reward for 200 lucre was, you know, an avatar, then no one would care.
Sure.
No one would care at all, right? So it's not about the value of the thing compared to the effort, because there are things that are less value for more effort that are not...
What is more value for less effort, though? Like, is there, like, an individual item?
No, I said less value for more effort.
I know.
What is more value for less effort?
Yeah.
Which then olfaction.
Yeah. You seem to contend that there are some things out there that are...
So, somebody with zero perm skills and olfaction, right? This doesn't happen.
Sure.
But let's imagine somebody with zero perm skills and olfaction and somebody with 60 permed skills. Which of them can ascend faster?
Well, clearly the 60 perm skills.
Right. And how long does it take to perm 60 skills? Fucking longer than it takes to get olfaction.
That depends on what style you're playing.
Right. I don't think so. I don't think you can perm 60 skills in 200 days.
If you're playing soft chord speed, you might be able to.
I don't think you can. I don't think that you can average 3-day runs, even if that's what you're trying for, and you already have all the skills. Concede the fucking point. You're just being a dick.
Sure, but I don't think the marginal value of your 41st through 60th skill is way less than
Listen, I'm not saying that people are wrong in being upset about this, and I'm not saying that nothing needs to change. I am not standing by this decision the way that I have in the past. I am a little sad that we can't do something like this, right? But we can't.
Like, so when, you know, not that this is, you know, just an anecdote, not that there's necessarily a point behind it. Like, when I first started playing World of Warcraft, the PvP system was such that if you wanted to achieve the highest rank in PvP, it was primarily an issue of, like, spending a tremendous amount of time PvPing. Because it was based on the number of honor points that you got, which you got more honor for winning, but you got way more honor for playing twice as long than you did for winning versus losing.
Right.
And so... within individual server communities, they would basically sort of come up with a queue of who was supposed to, like, get these titles, and people would, like, let the people who were supposed to get the titles play more. Like, other people would voluntarily reduce the amount of time that they would play so that you could more quickly and sort of equitably cycle people through the, like, the highest title or whatever.
Right. Which I feel like if... I'm a little nervous about our big future plan that...
Oh, yeah.
We gotta be careful about making it so, like, oh, well, this is a thing that only one person can get every 6 weeks or whatever.
But it wasn't supposed to be that. But, yeah, I know what you're saying.
No, but, I mean, that's the thing. Like, that,
sure.
Like, if we did something like that, that would create this sort of, like, degenerate meta play or whatever.
Yeah.
What bothers me about people complaining about Lucre is that... is the contention that spending 40 turns in a zone in this game is inherently a boring grind. Right? Because basically what that means is that you just don't like playing this game, so, like, why are you posting on the forums? You know, you're posting about what you want this thing to be when the sort of, like, the fundaments of it, the like, sort of primary verb of the game, which is adventure in a zone, is not something that you like. So it's, and I get it, I get that the metagame is more fun than the individual, you know, like, it, you know, it is not, strictly speaking, fun to use your index finger to push a mouse button, right? But that doesn't mean that it's not fun to shoot a bad guy in a first-person shooter, right?
Right.
Shooting a gun isn't fun if you're just shooting at a wall, whatever, right? Like, you need these goals, you need this metagame structure in order... to feel like the stuff that you're doing is meaningful, right? To me, the Bounty Hunter is a larger metagame structure to make the basic fundamental play of KOL meaningful. It's not done to people's satisfaction. The thing is, the problem is, and this is, I feel like, you know, there are other things in other games that run across this. In order to be the best at thing X, you have to invest some time in thing Y.
Oh.
Right. And thing Y is a thing that, they, like, what... The little bit of those forum threads that I read was people, like, sort of, like, arguing about whether or not their opinions were valid. Right? Somebody saying that they enjoyed ascending as fast as they could while still getting lucre, and then the speed people saying, but you're just objectively wrong about that being fun.
Huh.
Which, you know what, fuck that. Fuck that opinion. Nobody is objectively wrong about whether or not something is fun. Like, that's just not a thing.
I don't know about that.
Huh? Masochists?
Sure. I mean, that's a weird edge case.
But it's fun for them. I mean, that's the thing. Like, fun is a wholly subjective thing. Right? And so, the people complaining about lucre are the people who complain about fucking everything. Right? And the fewer things they have to complain about, the more they're going to zero in on the handful of things left that bother them. Right? Which is why this suddenly became fashionable for them to complain about lucre. Right?
Huh.
What I like about so I feel like the thing that I want in the lucre store in Twilight Heroes, because I am just doing it a little bit at a time, every few days, between runs, it probably will take me 6 or 7 months mm-hmm. to get the thing that I want. If I focused on it, I could do it in 2 months. Right? If that's all I did, I could do it in 2 months. And I'm totally okay with that. Right, because it's like, I recognize that this will make a fundamental difference in my ability to run through the game, but it's also going to make it more work. Right? The thing that you get for, you know, you can get 3 a day if that's what you're going for, right? It takes up, say, half of your allotment of turns to get 3 of these a day. For 200, you get a thing that gives you, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 extra turns a day. It's just like a passive... You get up earlier, plus turns bonus. And it's like, whereas I want that because I recognize that that will make it so I can go faster, perm skills faster, get more cool stuff underneath my name, I'm also like, well, you know, it also just means I got to play more turns every day and I'm having fun and, you know, right. Maybe I'll just burn out. You know, like, I'm not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry to get really good at this game because... then I'll... because I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying playing it, you know? I'm enjoying playing it. I'm enjoying getting better at it at my own pace. And, like, you know, I was a little sad. I thought I was going to make it onto a leaderboard. And then I fucked up and missed the leaderboard by, like, a turn. And I'm like, ah, that makes me sad. But then, you know, then I got less sad because I'm like, eh, whatever. Not a leaderboard kind of guy anyway. Even though there's only, like, 10 people playing. More people should play Twilight Heroes. It's fun.
And it does not piss you off the way Fantasy University does.
Yeah. Fantasy University pisses me off a little bit. I wonder if you guys are listening. I'm a little, I don't know.
You're hurt.
I'm a little hurt, yeah.
Why?
Because it is... I had the impression from looking at their promotional materials that it was... a KOL ripoff, and like I have that impression.
Your minimal introduction,
even more after playing, you know.
So here's a question: what is an homage? Where does the line draw between homage and like ripoff? Like, you know, like I have not seen it at all. Like,
as a Facebook game, this strikes me as a decidedly commercial venture.
The art style
is way better. I mean, they got somebody who can actually draw.
Sure, but it's not. It's not stick figures, but it's sketches, right?
Yeah, it's like.
So it's reminiscent.
It's not quite finished line drawings. It is. That's a good way to describe it. It is sketches, right?
Yeah.
It's like somebody sketched it out. They probably, you know, it's not a sketch. Like if they had like decided the head was here and they were going to move the head over here, they would erase that part or they would do it again.
Right.
Right. It's not super sketchy. But the number of jokes that are just directly lifted from our stuff, even in the first like 10 turns
but
that I played.
I mean, and is it obviously lifted, or is it just like in the same vein, or like what's the?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
I don't know if concerned is right, but you're thinking, you know, this is something that's in positioned to make a tremendous amount of money, and
maybe.
And like,
I will be mad if they make more money than us.
Yeah, I guess, like, I guess that's what
I will
your
be mad
is.
If they make more money than us.
Huh. That's interesting. You won't be happy for them.
No.
You won't be...
No, if I felt like their ideas were more... Like, so even... So, like, with Twilight Heroes...
Yeah, that's the thing. It's Twilight Heroes doesn't aggravate
the content
you.
Is... Because the content is original. The content is original.
Why are you less upset about, like, sort of mechanical direct translation?
Because I'm not a patent troll, you know? I mean, huh. I'm an artist.
So
right?
That's interesting. So if somebody took our art and did a different game, would that also piss you off?
The thing is, I'm not an artist. I would never describe myself as an artist. I would never describe the stuff that I do as art, but it is more akin to art than it is comic.
You're a humorist, and you're upset about them, like, using your jokes.
I don't know exactly. I think
there's some value in finding out
what it is about it. Yeah, I mean it.
It's not yet done, right? It's not yet, like, a thing. It's just like sort of a beta thing at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Clackling invited us in, and we got like that was when I on my fake account I had to get like I had to wait out a wait list.
Yeah.
But on my real Facebook account, when Clackling invited me in. Which I wish I hadn't used the name Jick on my fake account now.
Oh, yeah.
Because then I could be Jick in this game.
Just use a 1 instead of an I.
all caps, JLCK. They even ripped off my font! They probably totally didn't. I don't know. I think the thing about it is that what they have done is they have taken KOL.
Yeah.
They have simplified the mechanics a little bit, used all of the same fundamental structures, improved the art, and made the writing worse.
That's the impression you've got.
That
so
is
far.
The impression that I've huh. got so far. That said, I would probably hate the writing of KOL if I looked at it now.
You think?
I frequently do. I frequently when I'm at the.
That's interesting.
When I'm looking at the Comic-Con, like the PowerPoint presentation that goes across, I will look at that stuff and I will just be like. And it's stuff I wrote. It is stuff that I wrote, and yet I groan at how dumb it is. Because, like I've said in the past, my default position is that everything that I produce is terrible.
Huh.
Right. And especially familiarity is going to be
so,
contempt with it.
Is it possible that while you were sleeping, you made Fantasy University? Is it made by Tyler Durden? Have you checked?
Mm-hmm. So, the weapons that you can choose from
yeah.
when you're creating your character... are all things that exist in KOL. Granted, KOL is sprawling.
Things
and
from
like
the
everything,
world.
And like everything exists in it, but
sure.
like, hey, let's come up with a list of silly weapons for our silly fantasy game.
Yeah.
And every single one of them is just something that, you know, we already...
Yeah, that's...
We already went there. And I know that they played. I know that they are familiar with KOL. That's the thing. And they've wrote in, like I said, they wrote in to the radio show, I think after me mentioning them in
yeah.
the context of me being pissed off about the ripoff last
huh.
week, right? And
but
when I think about
say?
When I think about some dudes
they
making
they
this
like
game,
KOL or something.
I'm not mad at these dudes,
right.
right? When I think about this game, I'm a little mad at this game.
Huh. Because there have been so many KOL clones and KOL like real ripoffs. That you're just like, eh, whatever. And this one, which looks pretty distinctly different from you know, very outside perspective, but I have not actually played it at all, is
there are,
getting under your skin way more.
There are songs labeled with a 1 in parentheses, and the 1 in parentheses means that it costs an adventure to go there. And the number of adventures you have is the number underneath the hourglass on the left side of the... Like, it is just like...
But,
so okay,
so but
see,
every game has a hot bar at the bottom when we start playing it.
I feel like the Forum Wars
each
guys.
Each of those buttons is like mapped to the number keys, and I'm like, somebody came up with that first, and I don't know if it was Blizzard or EverQuest
sure,
or whatever,
sure,
and
sure,
like
sure,
that
sure,
is just the
sure,
way to
sure.
do it.
But yeah, I guess right.
So this is a loathing like, and that's cool.
I sure. Right, and that's why I can't be too mad about it, right? But it's just it's a little. If it was a sci-fi game that used all the same mechanics and had different names for stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So the fact that it's almost a competitor.
If they weren't drawing from the exact same pool of stuff and using the same jokes, right? Like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, Twilight Heroes is about superheroes.
I think from a philosophical perspective,
everyone expected me to be pissed off about Forum Wars, because I feel like the Forum Wars guy looked at KOL's success, thought, I could do something like that, He made something completely different.
Like,
right?
Platform and...
Because it was a funny browser RPG that was, like, you know, sort of pop culture centric, it drew a lot of critical comparisons.
Sure.
And, you know, the front page review that mentioned Kingdom of Loathing disparagingly, that burned my ass a little bit, right? Like, you know, that made me a little sad. Like, well, okay, I thought we could all be friends, but fuck you, buddy. But I got over it in a hurry.
What was that other... Crap. There was some other game that, like...
Muffins? See, you can't be mad at Muffins. That's like getting mad at a baby.
Lakes of Boating.
Lake of Boating.
Lake of Boating. Yeah, I fucking want Lake of Boating to come back. It was cool. But so like I feel like Forum Wars came from a less, I almost get the sense, and maybe this
Zork.
Is wrong, right? Oh,
Legends
God,
of Zork.
Fuck,
Legends of Zork wasn't
fuck
even
those
a
guys.
Game.
Are you angry at them?
Yes, I am angry at them. All right. I am angry at them because I am not positive that the people who made that game
played KOL.
Right? Because it was, Jesus fucking Christ, did they miss the point if they ever did, right?
Did they ever play Zork is another question. Because, like, that seems to have missed the mark.
Yeah, they really shat on that property, and they spent a ton of money trying to make a business model work that I feel like of all of the things that you can do, this was a way... I feel like I have made a living over the last 7 years by just sincerely trying to make the world a better place by using my particular talents to put as good a shit into it as I can.
Right.
Right? As opposed to just like, oh, my goal is to make a bunch of money and so I'm going to look at something else, do something like that, because it's like, oh, you know, it's... I think it is the sort of like guy looking at an abstract painting in a museum and says, "What the fuck? I could do that." That guy's an asshole, right? Like you.
The mere fact that you didn't do it is something.
It is misinformed to feel that way.
Sure.
About that, right? And you know, this was a thing that like it took me a long time, and you know, the Pretentious Artist is sitting here. I had some arguments with him about, you know, like sort of the value of certain
abstract
things,
art.
Like because the context is important, right? The order in which things happen is important.
The historical context.
In a cultural context.
Yes,
yeah,
sure.
Like,
yeah.
It, and so, you know...
Things that are reactions
like
to other
never,
things,
not
sure.
Understanding why the Beatles were such a big fucking deal.
Right.
Until you heard, all right, so
the
this is what the Beatles did. This is what the Beatles did 6 months later. This is what the Beatles did 6 months after that. And you think, wow, I just listened to the evolution of music from 1950 to 1980... Only
right.
It was
in
a year and a half of a single band. You know, like... Tangent.
Yeah. But, I mean, these are all relevant points. Like, we're talking... I mean, we are in a creative space that has been around for 20 years and is, like, sort of evolving in all kinds of weird shapes and directions and stuff like that. I mean, it's interfacing with the internet in a way that, like... Because the internet is changing so rapidly, it's hard to know. Like, Facebook was not a platform that you could have a game on, you know, when KOL came into existence, right? So now...
I mean, Facebook didn't exist when KOL was started, right? Like,
yeah. I don't remember.
Obviously,
when
the solution is just to get a Facebook front end and market KOL as the original internet funny fantasy game.
Yeah, but the thing is, it looks like crap compared to Fantasy University.
Yeah, there's so much more polish.
It's slow and buggy, but I feel like it's probably running on a testbed server now. Like, and they don't have the. I don't want it to seem like I don't wish those guys well, right?
Yeah. I mean, what would be cool? Sitting down and talking with them?
Yeah. It would be. Let's do that. I bet they're from San Francisco.
I mean, everybody is, right?
I mean, I'm saying because they seem like a bunch of fags.
I see.
It would be cool to sit down and talk to those guys.
I think it would be.
I don't know, man. I'm a little worked up about other stuff. I was worked up about other stuff when
about
I started talking
Luker.
About Luker. How would people feel about the ability? So what pisses people off about Luker is I want to be a speed ascender, so I need olfaction. I want to be a speed ascender, and gathering Luker every day is completely antithetical to the kind of fun that I want to have with this game. I don't think that it is, but they think that it is. And they're right about what's fun to them.
Yeah, I mean,
so they're fucking around between runs anyway, because you can only really seriously do runs when the moons are right or whatever bullshit, right?
Well, if you're actually trying for speed, if you're just trying to level to gather skills, then
if you're leveling to gather skills and you're ascending every 6, 7, 8, 9 days, and you could do one.
Yeah, your idea doesn't cut down on the number of days, it just cuts down on...
It doesn't cut down the commitment. It maybe cuts down the turn commitment, because we seriously can't do a 400 turn... I don't think we can do a 400 turn bounty.
You could.
No, maybe you could.
I mean, you need 400 of something that drops from every monster, right?
Yeah, sure.
Ooh, you know?
Yeah.
Like...
I am wondering if that is a thing that actually makes people happy, right? Can you, as a speedrunner, tolerate one day out of every 10
a single...
spending your entire day's turns, maybe having to buy some extra food to get enough turns to do it, maybe having to go underwater, you know, maybe having to go into a clan dungeon to do it.
Huh. So like, it's like some one of them's in Hobopolis.
Maybe there's a hobo bounty.
Sure.
Or whatever that comes up. I mean,
that's interesting. It opens up different areas. Like, if there's one in Hobopolis, a lot of people, you know, go to Hobopolis anyway to farm stuff, you know.
Right. So you might actually, like, you know, if we did some after course stuff, I mean, you might actually get to the point where it's like, oh, maybe those consumables are worth messing with. Also, making odor extractors tradable—that is a thing that I would not necessarily mind.
Huh? Because you can pull them now if you wanted to, right? Like.
Yeah, but you have to have earned it yourself.
Right.
But if you just buy one in the mall, and maybe it's worth it to find a good bounty, or on the days when there's a good bounty, just do that and get it.
I wish that I had been thinking ahead and had done something like multiple odor extractors for a single Luker.
Yeah.
To be honest, when we made the tome, I thought it was going to be a one use per day item.
That it wouldn't be as powerful as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I decided, well, since this is so much work to get, it should be more powerful. It should be super awesome. Because one use a day is not sufficiently awesome, and then it just...
It's a weird... It's a, like... Because you're coming at it from two different points of view, right? And, like, they both have some weight behind them. Because you don't want to work this hard and then be underwhelmed, because, like, god damn it. But then you are now locked into the situation where those who have done it and finally have it are so much potentially more powerful than people who haven't, that then there becomes this, like, gap in this divide, right? And one is sort of long-term healthy and one is short-term angry, you know? Or one is long-term healthy and short-term angry, and one is... short-term happy and long-term angry, right? Yeah. You wouldn't like me when I'm hungry.
So, I mean, I'm curious. Now I have to read these fucking threads. Maybe somebody will make a new thread.
That is just a distillation.
And this wasn't my idea. This was somebody posted in dev, like, what they had suggested was that you be able to keep accepting bounties and then do them all
in a single day.
In a sequence, right? Which, I mean, that's the limits that bother some people, which is like, if you took a bounty and forgot to turn it in, you can't do one today. That was just laziness in the way the flags are handled.
Right.
Right? Like, I coded it as expeditiously as possible, and there's no fundamental philosophical reason why some of those weird edge cases are.
We didn't want you to be able to accept one multiple times and do it.
Yeah, we didn't want you to be able to do more than one per day, but what that doesn't.
Well, but we didn't also want you to be able to accept 10 in the, you know, I don't know, airship or whatever, and, like, do 10 at once.
Yeah, that thing would require you to not do
the same one.
The same one. Not pick up the same one twice. And then, I mean, you know, so maybe we would change the rotation of them so that. I don't remember how that works. I think I'm thinking of the Raffle House. I think I'm thinking of
it's randomized from a set.
It's randomized, but it does a thing where it stores
repeat.
The next several, like, it.
Oh, that's definitely the Random House.
It's randomized, but the distribution is always equal, right? Like, it picks one of 10 things, but
right.
one tenth of the raffles that have happened are each the one of 10 things. Like, if that was how that worked,
sure,
right?
Sure.
It's something like that, but I can't think how that wouldn't.
Yeah, I don't think that's actually how it works, but I could be wrong.
Well, I don't know that we're using that. I don't think we're using Jim's old system anymore because it was too inflexible.
I see.
When he was gone and we needed to do some shit where we wanted to change the raffle prizes over time.
Oh, no, I thought you were talking about the bounties. I don't know.
Oh, no. No, the bounties I did, and so they're not very thoughtful, right, in terms of how it's distributed. Do you think. So one thing that does to the bounty hunter is it gives him a different thing depending on who you are, right? So it makes it less worldly.
No, that's not true. Just because the bounties are the same every day doesn't mean that the bounty isn't the same for you that for everybody else that also didn't do one yesterday.
Well, right. So then, but then we have to store the 2 lucre bounty, the 3 lucre bounty, the 4 lucre bounty, the 5, the 6,
what
the
7,
the
8, store?
The 9, 10. We have to store that so that everybody who's getting a 2 lucre bounty today, because on a given day, there are some people who don't have a 4th tier of bounty. There are a bunch of people who have a 2 lucre bounty. There's a bunch of people who have a 3 lucre bounty.
Right.
Right. So there's a bunch more states to store.
For the bounty hunter? For what? For the bounty hunter has to have. The bounty hunter on any given day offers a particular bounty, and then a particular bounty at each tier above the standard 3.
Yeah. So however many we want to do, he has to have that many individual ones that are the thing he has that day if you're in that state. Right, which, I mean, I guess that isn't less worldy, it's just more.
So we could definitely do some of them easy just being multiples of the current ones, you know.
Could you?
Sure. If you don't want to bother with adding new content, bring me 9 of these things instead of 4.5.
What if they were just all underwater, right?
I don't know.
Like, how would people feel about that? Right.
I see what you're saying.
Because that way there's a spread of levels underwater.
There's gonna in the, you know, not too distant future, further out than 2 weeks, there will be a pretty compelling reason to spend a lot of time underwater. For some
not people. Necessarily
for some people.
Not as a speed ascender though.
I mean, no.
Would speed ascenders rather
you give them olfaction when they first log in.
Right.
So I don't know that we can cater to them.
But can we add content that makes them stop fucking whining?
No.
About this particular thing.
Yeah, but like, if it isn't about this, it's going to be about something else. At least this one has a recognizable name that you can ignore. Right? Lucre? Just, mm-hmm. You know.
I'm honestly curious, though, as to whether or not that, like, They say that it's not the time that it takes. They say that it is the time that they have to spend not doing what they want to do for fun.
It is the time that they have to spend not doing what they want to do.
Yeah. So, if we were able to make it take the same amount of time, but make it so only one day out of every 10 do they have to spend a day's turns not doing what they want to do, or, you know, one day out of every 7, the thing that I feel this accomplishes is it makes it happen at the same rate as long as you're doing reasonably speedy ascensions and are willing to take a day off between each one.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like there is nothing in the game that you can't do at level 11 if you're sufficiently buffed.
Sure.
Right? So it's just a matter of spending the money on it. And then is that good for the economy? Right? I mean, does that encourage people who want to optimize to use, you know, maybe a bunch of, like,
combat-relevant,
expensive consumables that they wouldn't normally have any reason to mess with?
Right. Yeah, I mean,
if it's underwater, then suddenly the people hanging out underwater because they like it and they like farming the stuff and making a profit on it are making more of a profit, right? Like, if something draws more people down there, that makes that economy more vibrant. And so, in addition to, like, us actively drawing more people down there, we also are sort of passively drawing more people down there.
Right.
We're making it more appealing.
Huh. Yeah, I mean...
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Sweet.
That's how worked up I am. Casey Wiederman says, Jake, I am still super excited and happy about the future. Don't read forum threads, just listen to me. But Casey Wiederman, we've determined, is my doppelganger.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I thought...
More so than Nightmare?
Yeah. He feels the same... Well, no, I'm not saying he looks like me. I'm saying that he is me. He's my...
Ah, he's your literal double.
Yeah.
In the world.
I texted Nightmare the other day because Nightmare is no longer Fat Me. John Romero is Fat Me and Nightmare.
Weird.
Whoa. Weird.
Yeah. John Romero got really fat. Saw him in that Get Lamp documentary.
Oh, I still haven't watched that yet.
You should see it, man. There's a huge fat John Romero in it. I just thought of that.
I mainly bought it just to get that coin, and I have enjoyed having the coin.
Oh, yeah?
And that
I put
it.
That coin in the thing of coins in my bar next to the Goonies coin that you got me. That I've been fiddling with on my desk for years. And I'm like, you know, this keeps making my hand smell like metal. I should probably stop touching it all the time.
I hate stuff that makes my hand smell like metal.
Because I would wake up and I'd be like, why does my hand smell like metal? And I'm like, yep, I was fidgeting with Riff's coin again.
That's cute, what you guys call it.
Now I have the 200 chip.
Yes.
200 bottle cap chip from the New Vegas Collector's Edition.
Yep, and there's poker chips, too.
Yeah, I should put those in my...
I've almost kind of figured out maybe how Caravan works.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I still have not accumulated enough cards to play it.
Did you rescue Ringo?
No.
Because he gives you a whole deck.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's in the first town.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Wait, yes. Yes, I did. He was the guy that was in the gas station.
Yeah, yeah.
He gives you a whole deck.
Yeah.
He didn't give me shit.
Oh, maybe you should go back and talk to him. He's probably still wandering around in Goodvale or whatever.
Good Springs?
Yeah.
That's not a partial name from a sign.
Oh, it is.
Good Springs?
It's supposed to be Good Springsfield.
double
plus on Good Springsfield.
It seems like, though, like it might even be an interesting game to make your own decks of and play in the real world.
Huh.
Which would be fun in itself, because then you could buy a lot of weird different decks of cards to make your deck out of.
Or you could just find them. I have a deck of cards that I, because of Doc Galactic and his notion of a tarot deck of, like, found objects.
Oh, yeah.
I have a deck of cards that I have just found that are the shape of and size of regular playing cards.
Hmm.
And it's, like, 5 cards deep. You don't find that many playing cards.
I was going to say.
Yeah. No, but I mean, eventually, maybe by the time I'm dead, I'll be able to play Caravan with it. Only I think there's also like a Basalt Monolith in there, which I don't know how many points that's worth. On a side note, as Giarge says, on a side note, I've noticed questions I ask lead you off onto strange tangents. To remedy, I'm going to ask you about something strange in the hope that you inexplicably start on something that I'm interested in. So, when I harvest meat from monsters such as rabbits, am I using their flesh or are they carrying around little meat wallets? If the latter, where does it come from originally? It's both.
Yeah, I think it's different depending on the monster.
Yep.
Mostly meat wallets.
Mostly meat wallets,
mostly,
yeah,
but not necessarily, yeah.
Yeah, I mean. People talking about the Naughty Sorceress. Not Jim says, so is it just me, or are you behind schedule for both delay revamping and Uncle P's item? What's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on is that I'm going from the beginning on. I think I'm going to start dealing with delay as I get to it in the course of going through the quests. Are you having fun making noise with that transformer?
Sorry, yeah. Yeah, I am.
Yes. The champion says, what video games that are being released during the holiday season are you guys looking forward to? The thing that I was looking forward to this year was Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah, same
and
here.
I'm having fun with it.
I don't really have any idea what's coming out.
I mean, Cataclysm.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I've decided not to go back.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Huh. That surprises me.
All right. Well, I'll try not to talk about it much. It's not that hard. I mean, I feel like Hot Stuff is okay with just kind of hearing about the highlights from me.
Yeah, I don't mind if you end up with stories or something, but...
I like watching you play sometimes. I like watching other people play video games.
Yeah, I'm enjoying having time to play other games because I'm not playing World of Warcraft, I think.
You know,
is
I'm
what kind of
looking forward to Guild Wars 2, actually, seeing what that's all about. Blister Guy says, what do you think about, and then X idea from some other player about how the bounty hunter should work. No. Cowman Bob says, is there a baseball team that sucks almost as much as the Yankees do? I was just listening to a the most recent Jordan Jesse Go, about getting nerds into sports.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. They didn't really get much of anywhere.
Did they choose a nerd and then the other people
chose
a nerd?
Oh, man, somebody made a thread called Jick's Idea Lucre Thread. Thanks, Stupak. Stupak is one of the good ones also. So now there's a thread to discuss that idea and see how people would feel about it.
Cool.
It's weird that more dudes on the gaming podcasts I listen to are into sports than aren't, I think.
Yeah.
Because, like, the We Can Confirm guys,
yeah,
do, like,
confirm. They, like,
football
fucking, like, an
after
hour
the
about sports games. And then, yeah. And then they'll do the thing where the podcast ends, and then they spend 20 minutes talking about fucking football.
Yeah.
Like, what?
And the giant Bombcast guys are all into sports.
Do you think there'll be fantasy football in Fantasy University?
I don't know. It'd be awesome. Fantasy Quidditch? custom avatar delays, says Tech Dragon. I thought we were caught up.
We are.
Yeah. Rotting Flesh says radio monster level rewards for the level 11 and 12 bosses. Ah, Jesus fucking Christ. I get so mad.
Radio what?
I get so mad
rewards?
I can't even fucking talk.
Wait, what?
Not radio. Like.
Oh,
like,
the monster.
Like mind control device, yeah.
No.
I really want to just change the way that works. And I tried with Ratsworth, but it became such a fucking
nightmare.
Rat's nest. I think it's fine if we make him stop scaling and do what I want to do. And maybe that just happens tomorrow. Maybe work is
the
fucking
scaling,
done.
The
work is done. The scaling was in order to introduce that aspect of the Naughty Sorceress. That aspect of the Naughty Sorceress
is
not there anymore. And it's an optional boss. So, like, I think that whole plan was bullshit. To begin with.
Whatever.
You know, I liked the symmetry of it, right? I like the idea, but I don't think it actually accomplished anything.
Whatever.
The introducing features of your bosses. It made us feel like it was elegant. It made us feel clever. It's your idea, right? It made you feel clever.
It did make me feel
clever.
And
it was clever. Play Havoc says, how much do you love me? This much, buddy. This much. Will Skelly turn into a giant to destroy us all for Crimbo? Crimbo's going to be pretty tame this year. When is the new clan done gone? Someday. What are you doing right now other than chatting on the radio? I'm drinking whiskey and fidgeting with my balls. Would you play that phone message where I yelled out, Play Havoc! No, I finally listened to a bunch of the voicemails, and there wasn't a whole lot to use. I only got like halfway through them because I was kind of drunk and I lost interest. But
you haven't played them in a long time, so I imagine there were several.
Yeah, there were. Any more giant arrows going in? No, there were only those two. And Hot Stuff made it so it takes a while for them to show up.
I mean, I didn't want to annoy people that were, like, all on their game.
Yeah. Since I did the Toots voice, can I take over the NPC Toot account one day for a while and do things, probably insane things in chat? No. No, no. That I don't think so. You can make official Tutorial videos, though. We can even we'll link. If you make some videos where you're the Tutorial explaining to people how to play KOL, I will link them from the Tutorial's profile.
That's a dangerous...
Yeah, no. That's...
I will...
That's a terrible promise.
No. No, if I like them, if I approve them...
I see, okay.
Can the pliers be made a quest item and or a free pull somehow so you don't auto-sell them and lock yourself out of content if you're an auto-sender? And then, what, if anything, will be done to make Mist and Moxie signs as cool as Must Sign is? Jarko had an interesting idea.
Oh, yeah.
What if going Mist Sign gave you a fourth accessory slot?
Oh, Jesus.
Man.
What does that do?
It's all kinds of
things. He had said was a fourth slot just for jewelry and make jewelry into a kind of equipment that you could only wear if you were Mist Sign, but
no.
That's complicated. What if going Mist made it so you had a fourth accessory slot?
I mean, have we constructed anything on the basis that you only have three accessories?
Well, I think we had done a little bit of that in the past, but then once we instituted that you can only wear one of this accessory thing, like... I don't feel like there's a lot of shit balanced against you.
It would definitely be the place to go for farming, because
there are more plus item drops, accessories. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would it be a big deal? Would anybody care? Or is Muscle Sign so much better that we could give you fucking 9 accessory slots?
I think that Muscle Sign is going to become less attractive in the not too distant future, so it's not that big a deal.
What makes you think that?
Because of the things that you and I have talked about?
I don't remember those things. You're mad.
The meat car?
You're jerking off some guy.
The meat car.
The meat car.
We've talked a lot about the
jerking
meat car.
Jerking off the meat car?
Oh.
And some things.
Is it hand-cranked engine?
Oh!
Right?
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
So I'm not really worried about it right now. We'll see. I wouldn't worry about... I mean, that's an interesting idea, but that is vastly unbalanced at all the other signs. Not that they're currently balanced, clearly, but...
Right.
I think,
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see.
Anyway, I mean, it was just in the discussion of, like, you know, what the fuck, jewelry crafting is bullshit. That's what everybody says.
Yeah, it's a little... I'm sad how underwhelming the Pork Elf jewelry is.
Yeah, it's just comparatively so easy to get. I mean, we thought of it as this, like, sort of epic reward thing when we were thinking of Ascension as this, like, epic thing as opposed to, like, oh, this is something somebody does every couple days.
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's going to take people at least a month to ascend.
You know what I really like?
Yeah.
I really like the way that the Ascension rewards work in Twilight Heroes.
Do you?
I do. I really do.
Do you like that they are...
I like that you accumulate currency by doing runs, you accumulate more currency by doing more difficult things in run, and then you can use that currency to just buy some shit. You unlock an inventory in a store that just exists out in the world. It's not... There is no Valhalla in his ascension process, right? There's no, like, interim stage where you're fucking around doing things.
Right.
Yeah.
We've talked about the possibility of having a store for karma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Changing the way that works. And I don't know. It's interesting seeing this. What I would like is if we didn't have the situation where you, like, have to do a sorcerer run to do a competitive speed run.
Right.
Or whatever, you know, like that. And especially, like, the fact that one of the stainless steel items is so much better in Ascension than any of the Plexi items, you know, that it's like, you know, I don't know. I think it's a good thing I'm in this, like, dramatic shakeup of all the fundamental shit mode. Maybe it's that I've just decided that this whole Kingdom of Loathing thing has run its course, and now I just don't give a fuck. You know what? I'll just set shit on fire. Left and right. I will set shit on fire!
Oh my god. Fire is my greatest fear in Minecraft. I have built everything out of trees.
It's been years since I've seen the Big Lebowski, but I can totally see the Christian symbolism.
I mean, there's clearly some potential parallels there. I just had never, thought about it.
He wears a robe.
Yeah.
He has long hair and a beard.
Right.
He's upset about white Russians.
He's upset about a rug. You know.
F of X says people still care about baseball.
Was there a Mary Magdalene character? Was there
Turtle says this thread is now about Luker. Checkmate, Jig.
Checkmate.
It's pretty funny. Mad Surgeon says what you just said about Miss Luker building up an X day is worth of Luker being harder/longer to do at once. Freaking awesome, that is all. You know, it has been like 3 weeks since we've read any Radio Bugbear questions. We only have like 4 minutes left.
We also have a bunch of Twitter questions.
Yeah, but I feel like I did a lot of the Twitter questions.
Did you?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about...
No, that was just somebody randomly retweeting your
stuff. Super Scribble Knots.
Only your stuff makes people happy on Twitter.
You think?
You're the only favorite star that we've ever gotten was your dumb joke about dragons at Dragon Con. I'm sorry, your awesome joke. Yeah. I'm sorry, buddy. It wasn't a dumb joke.
Yeah.
Anakaju says, have any of you picked up Super Scribble Knots yet? It's absolutely fantastic.
Is it really?
Color me super fucking disappointed with the first one.
Yeah.
But I will...
I was disappointed with the first one to the point that I don't trust the second one to be good.
I mean, I can imagine them learning some lessons from the first. Apparently, they dramatically improved the controls.
Yeah,
that's
I
one
did
thing
hear
that. I read
that.
About it. I mean, I read
that
a
was
Rock
probably
Paper
half
Shotgun
of what I didn't like.
Review of it. Yeah, I mean, the guy was never fucking doing what I wanted him to do. Ever. Let's see. Spider McFly says, you guys rock hard, but for the love of Boris, can you please do something about the Hidden Temple /City Clickfest and donuts? I like donuts, but only
donuts
on the weekends.
Donuts are good. I'm a fan of donuts. Man, I could really go for a donut right now.
A bunch of people saying, that sounds great, sounds great, sounds great. And then Betrayer says, God damn it, missing a day of Luker farming isn't the problem. Looks like the 200-day thing isn't going to change. Luker closed has AIDS. What? What? Oh, because he's like, pool closed has AIDS. Turtle says, wrong, this allows you to spend your Ascension's perming skills the way you want to, then wait for stat days and aftercore while making up for all the Luker you lost. It doesn't solve the 200-day barrier. It solves the this-is-fucking-up-what-I-want-to-be-doing barrier. Jake, it's like 40-plus turns in a given run. Getting all factions saved me a day on my lazy-don't-give-a-shit runs. Right, but there are other things collectively that save more than a day or 40 turns on a run.
Yeah, collectively. Individually, it might be the biggest thing.
Okay, but... The same argument that says that this is one thing says that this is one thing that is 100 times as big as any other thing. No, maybe this is 100 things. Right?
200 things.
But just saying. Right? Like, it's not like there is a slot machine and it has 10 different prizes that you can get, and one of the prizes is worth 10 meat, and another one's worth 10 meat, and another one's worth 10 meat, and then 10 meat, 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 10 meat. It's not a situation like that, right? It's a perceptual thing, man. Perceptual.
Some of my doors must be closed.
Stupak says, Jick, if Darth says it, it doesn't count as a person saying it. He's not a person. Zaru fan says, implementation of makeup Lukers would be awesome. It would totally fix the Zomg this takes forever rage issue, but at least it would allow people to burn a day or aftercore or two to make up for Luker loss during a run.
But that's the question. I don't... Would it? Like, you would...
No, oh, Betrayer considers me to be an artist.
Like, if it's only active for... Like, if you skip one and then do one... mid-run, but, like... Sorry, you skip one.
Don't do one mid-run. I mean,
That's okay, yeah. So you stop doing Luker
Core. You know,
Luker Core stops being a thing.
The people who care about this, I mean, it doesn't have to stop being a run. Like, you can do it if you want.
Unless, I guess, if people don't like the sea and they're all underwater, then sure.
Yeah. I mean, they probably wouldn't all be underwater, though. I'd probably do underwater and in clan dungeons.
Okay.
And, you know, what, like, then I'll make a new clan dungeon. let's wait on this until we make a new clan dungeon.
Let's have 10 different clan dungeons.
Okay, good. Good. Scully did this awesome thing, and the thing that I felt about that thing was like, this is sweet, we should do 10 times this.
Yeah, it was really awesome.
The joke about the... It's an awesome idea, though.
It is a,
my
it
idea,
is a fucking
you have
awesome
to admit
idea.
That my idea is an awesome idea.
It is, it's like thematically just hilarious and makes me very
now
happy.
You built it all up so we can never tell anybody what it was.
Yeah, but they'll see it someday if it happens.
The Huzzah of Fire says, why did you decide to make a temporary familiar a major part of the MacGuffin quest? I would not say that that is a major part of the MacGuffin quest.
It is a minor part of the MacGuffin quest. Because it was interesting?
Yeah.
Just wait until you see the other crazy familiar stuff we have.
Epic Moose says, I think most of us consider you an artist, Jake. Well, I don't want to be an artist. I want to be an artist.
But you've got skills of
artist.
That's
the thing. I feel like when I read this, you know, we were talking about, like, our video games art, right? The whole Roger Ebert thing.
Yeah.
And somebody said, do you think that KOL is art? My answer was, I would never describe myself as an artist. So
right.
I think that means that I can't describe the things that I do as art. Huh. I mean, it's definitely like...
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah.
I feel like...
What about a painting of
being KOL? Calling yourself an artist implies that art is, if not your profession, then at least something that you do all the time. Someone who's not an artist can make art once in a while.
So there was a question that I was asked, like a multiple choice question once, that was like, are you an aspiring artist, yes or no? And I was like, no, in the sense that I have lived professionally as an artist for, you know, 15 years or whatever, right? Because, I mean, I was... Freelance photography is effectively an art form, right? Like, you know.
Sure.
So... You know, I think creating things and putting them out into the world that people enjoy...
Is a carpenter an artist?
Can be.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I think in general, a carpenter
is
not an artist.
You should read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance.
Is he a carpenter that designs his own furniture, or is he simply assembling furniture?
It's an interesting distinction that he has, though, between things that are art... like artistry and things that are not, you know. You should read it.
Does he?
Yeah.
Does he really?
Yes. It's a question of quality.
Is it a good book?
If
it's a question of quality, I am always going to say that I'm not an artist because everything that I produce is shit.
But he uses quality.
What
he uses the word he uses
Jesus
the word
in
quality in a very different way than I think you're just thinking that I'm saying it nonchalantly.
Okay.
Quality is like a fundamental aspect of the universe in his sort of cosmology.
I see.
Yeah.
Maybe I should read Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance instead.
It's gonna make you so fucking sad.
I gotta imagine.
It's gonna like wreck you. It is going to fucking wreck you.
I know, and I feel like that's why I haven't.
I know.
That's why I haven't.
It's a good book though, but it will fucking wreck you.
You should
read it in November to just make it that much worse.
No, that would be pretty sweet. Or maybe, you know, you could go on a bunch of motorcycle trips with your dad.
Yeah.
Right before he dies.
Yeah.
And then you could read it again.
Yeah.
You read it to me.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That'd
be great.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're gonna stop a show
on an upper.
leave you in the more than capable hands of Pastafari. That guy will entertain the shit out of you here on Radio KOL.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Bye.